Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This afternoon, we're using the Good News Update as a chance to reiterate the invitation that Sherry gave to all of us in her recent blog, The World of Opposites, to spark hopefully a Sangha-wide conversation on the topic of the blog. And Sherry's joined us this afternoon to kick that off. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Jan.
So I thought I would just jump in, if that's okay, with kind of what I've seen about it.
Oh, I would deeply appreciate that, yes.
Interesting to me. Okay. We'll see if other people share the same thing. The first thing is I recorded it, so I read it into a recorder and have listened to it many, many times, which just in general I find that to be such a helpful practice.
Mm-hmm.
To take it in different ways, to read it and then to listen to it and just kind of interact with it in different ways.
Yes. Yes. And that right there is just, yes, that could be another conversation. The benefit of mixing it up,
yep,
so that different aspects of the personality read it, so that you're in different, one is in different levels of identification and disidentification,
yep,
and that it just comes in different ways to different places, and it's very helpful. If we always do things the same way, it's very easy for conditioning to grab hold of whatever it is, because we're predictable.
It is, and you're right. It's another topic, but I will just do a very short commercial for one of my favorite practices in terms of RNLing, which is letting life choose the file instead of me.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm lucky I can, I dump things into a program that then can shuffle them. And
mm-hmm.
I swear it's made a religious person out of me, where I just say, okay, life, you know, there are thousands of recordings in here. Sometimes I say, just give me the one I need. Or sometimes I say, boy, I could really use assistance with such and such. And this next recording will come on, and I think, well, gosh, why is this one coming on? And 3 minutes into it, I'm like, oh.
Oh, I get it.
Thank you. I would have never chosen that one.
Uh-huh.
But uh-huh. That's really fun because, as you say, different aspects. If I'm always choosing when I'm going to listen to the blog, it's very likely mm-hmm. the same I is choosing it.
Precisely. It's why we discourage journaling.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, the other thing I did with it was I walked through it as if it were a workshop, and I took the, all right, so what does conditioning say about Jen? And I wrote those words down. That was really clear. No problem coming up with that. Oh, she's this way, and she's that way, and she's this way. And then I had a really fun time with, okay, so what are the opposites? And so I had a thesaurus with me, and so there were quite a number of choices for most of the words. What the opposite could be, it could be this, it could be that. And I didn't consciously think of it, but I realized it afterwards that this is what I was doing, of the practice in the new book of the magnet, the quivering, where there's that exercise of looking for the things in life that resonate with our authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did, to find the which was the opposite word, is just to watch for that sort of internal quiver.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily the thing that was like, oh, yeah, that's the one, I can really see that in me. In fact, in most cases, it was not that at all, because very often there are qualities that conditioning would say, no way, I'm not that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just that internal sense of resonance with it, like maybe some, oh, yeah, I love that quality in other people, or I see that in my heroes or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
of course,
yeah.
No way is the whole point of the exercise, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's as revealing as, you know, if the quiver feels kind of subtle,
uh-huh.
listening to conditioning shriek will tell you that you're on track.
Exactly. And that's precisely what has been so helpful about it, it feels like, is then once I have those other things, I can actually practice those things. And that
yes.
what I found is so helpful is that, at least in my experience, in this next phase of practice that it feels like we're in as an entire Sangha, in the transcending resistance, that conditioning is going crazy. And so it's screaming and it's doing what it's doing. And that in the times where then it feels like that makes authenticity inaccessible, it feels like this next piece that you've put out with this blog completely blows through that. Because so conditioning is going crazy and it's being really loud. Great. Instead of, I don't want that. I got to get away from that. You know, ignoring that, I turn straight to it and look at, okay, what is it saying? Got it. Now, what's the flip of that? And then I can practice that.
Yes. 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 So there it is at the border, mm-hmm. right, in the little cartoon in the new book, you know, the whole dragons, that fear, that whole thing, because you're going to fall over that cliff into all these hideous things, and actually what you're going to do is step off into bliss.
Right.
So we are deeply conditioned when we start hearing that shrieking, that means there's something wrong. There's something wrong with me. I need to get out of here. As you say, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to. And so we turn tail and run.
Yeah.
And you've caught on to two things with it. One is, yes, that's the signal that I am, in fact, in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
It's only screaming because I am in the right place, and I'm in danger of realizing that if I stick around for any time at all.
Right.
And what's also happening is that you are in awareness watching the process happen,
mm-hmm.
which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what we're meant to do is go, you're walking along, the voices start screaming, you become the person who's being screamed at.
Mm.
You're little and you get afraid and you run.
Yep.
What you're doing now with this the diagramming sentences approach to it, uh-huh. is, okay, so I know that when I walk forward, what I'm doing is walking forward so that I'll set the voices off.
That's
coming from a completely different orientation.
It really is.
Yeah, you're in awareness now, and so now you're watching the whole thing happen. It's a shift from I'm a victim to actually I'm in charge here.
Truly.
Yeah. So you're identified now, but not that. I mean, it's unfortunate we have to use the same mm-hmm. word for mm-hmm. this, but you are. You are awareness,
yep.
rather than an aspect of a personality in a situation.
Yep. And, for me, it really assists with what conditioning can do with the analogy that's so helpful in the new book is the being in the garden and having mm-hmm. the attention on the garden and not in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And that what conditioning can do with that, it's such a perversion of it, and it's so obvious when I say it out loud. But what it feels like conditioning can do with that is, so that means, that you shouldn't be hearing the voices, because if you are, then you're in the weeds, or that you shouldn't pay any attention to the voices, which on some level is true, but that what it feels like the blog is pointing at it, and what I hear and what you're just saying is that it's not that there won't be voices and that they won't come at you, because they will. It's how you are with that process.
Yes. So if we go back, that's exactly right. If we go back to the garden,
mm-hmm.
we're not saying there are no weeds, there are no weeds, I'm not going to look at weeds, I'm not going to look at weeds.
Exactly.
Because then, of course, all of our attention is on the weeds. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of looking at them, we're not looking at them.
Exactly.
So
well put.
I'm in the garden, and of course there are weeds here.
Yeah.
I'm just not giving them all my attention. And that's the big difference. Right? I know they're there, and I know that they are actually a very small part
yeah.
of this vast, beautiful garden. And so I choose to give my attention to the beautiful, vast garden
yeah.
rather than narrow it down. I was writing something today, and I was looking at it as tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has, and that's what it wants us to have, is tunnel vision. So there's this huge, beautiful world,
yeah.
and we're meant to just focus in on this little tiny thing over here in the corner that we don't like, or
yeah.
that's not working, or that's wrong.
Right.
We don't want to do that.
And the other thing that the blog makes, so, I mean, you make this point all the time in practice, but I feel like it's really clearly articulated in the blog, that those weeds, that conversation that happens, the particular conversation that happens in each of our head, has nothing to do with us.
Nothing.
It's just...
Isn't that marvelous?
So marvelous. And, you know, it can seem like, well, but it must, because it seems like it's all about me, because it's particular to me, and it's, you know, it's unique to what what Jen does and kind of how she is. And the blog so points at, well, yeah, because it's tailored to you so that you'll believe it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, you come in as this particular form of authenticity, so the conditioning takes a particular form kind of against that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just that's the particular form of suffering that will get you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so good to see, isn't it? And so with that opposite thing, there is this creature that your mother probably named Jen, who has all of these characteristics and qualities and attributes, all of the qualities, characteristics, and attributes that exist in the world, by the way, that exist in a human being.
Yeah.
They're all there. And then the process of narrowing it down starts, right, with karmic conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And until we finally give in and say, okay, all right, I'm this way, this way, this way. Here are the 19 things out of all of the qualities and characteristics that exist in life that I'm going to identify as me. And it's just, the whole thing is just completely made up. And it's when we step back and see it that way, we can feel nothing but compassion for the person because, you know, nobody is going to come to a conclusion like that if they don't feel they have to in order to survive.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this is what everybody wants me to be, and so I'll be it.
Yep. And it seems like everybody else is doing it, so I guess this is what we all got to do.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So just a big thank you for that, that next piece. It feels like it's such a useful tool, especially at this point in practice. So, you know, that is the invitation. If people want to explore that for themselves, that, you know, they're welcome to do that on the show and in really all forms, you know, all the practice opportunities that are ongoing.
Yeah. And one other connection there, Jen, the email class that's starting not too far out in the future.
Yeah.
One of the things that we spoke about recently with that, and I've been away working on this other project that I'm really excited about and I'm restraining myself from mentioning in this conversation, but soon we'll be able to talk about it.
Okay.
So you guys could have been saying anything about the email class while I was gone, but one of the things that I'm most fascinated about with this approach to the Enneagram is exactly what we're talking about, that there are ways, so we identify with a dominant type, and then there is this underutilized aspect of ourselves, and it's very much the same. The dominant way of being keeps us from being able to see that we are also these other ways, and as we practice more owning those other ways that we don't get to be, we get much closer to authenticity. So for people who want to explore this whole idea through that avenue, that's coming right up.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that next piece too. It's so interesting how almost paradoxical how really, really getting a good look at, you know, what in this case what Enneatype I am, that's a portal to freedom. You know, it can seem like it's going to be a closing down, but it's not at all. It's an opening up to, oh, gosh, that's how I've been conditioned in particular. And so seeing that, then I can step into everything instead of being down in that tiny little place.
Yes, and where we're going with the Enneagram and with everything else in life, of course, is at what point can you realize I'm all of those?
Yeah. Exactly.
I can watch when I'm in type 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And there is that dominant karmic pull But we are all of those ways of being, and to access that, to understand it, to access it, and to have the freedom to draw upon whatever is appropriate in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot available to us.
Yes, truly. It makes for a very happy, open life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, thanks
All right.
On the update and kicking it off with us.
Yeah, well, we'll see if anybody else read that blog and what they have seen. So thanks for articulating that. I was afraid you were going to say, so, Sherry, what do you, and I confess, I read it right before the show.
What was it about?
Yeah, what, I know it's a world of opposites. Now, what were we saying there? So thank you for taking that on.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Yeah, thank you.
Good. Good.
And Michael, as I turn the show over to you, I do have one announcement, if we have a quick minute for that.
Sure.
And I just wanted to remind folks that if they feel moved to do so, that we're always open to donations for Open Air, that if people feel like it's a practice opportunity that's valuable to them, that they might, you know, every now and then just kind of look to see what they want to contribute and help make it possible. You know, of course, you and Sherry donate your time every week to do the show, but a lot of kind of every practice opportunity that we have, a lot of care and attention and resources put into it. So ultimately, it's ours. It belongs to the Sangha. And I just actually had this image of a little open-air jar. You know, each time I listen to a show, maybe I put, whatever, $5 in it, or I listen to an archive and I put a dollar in it, and once a month I count it up and send in a check, or whatever people feel moved to do. But we just like to remind folks that if they feel like it's a valuable opportunity, that they might throw something in and contribute.
Thank you for that, Jen. That's important. That's important because it is true that there are a lot of practice opportunities that we attempt to make available, and we like to price them so that everybody can take advantage, and we don't want to confuse that with, well, it's free and it doesn't cost anything, because a lot of folks give a lot of their own resources to make all of these things available.
Really?
So thanks for that.
Yep, yep. All right, well, have an excellent show.
Thanks.
Okay, great.
Talk
Thank
to you,
you Jen.
Okay, good night.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Can I tell you what I was saying about the blog and resistance?
Oh, yes, please.
And I think this was in your preface to the new book, and that is, this is a trap that I've fallen for, but learning, I think you were referring to the there is nothing wrong with you work, learning in detail how my conditioning works, and then staying focused on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of seeing the garden.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really subtle point, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't realize that, if I am focused on this because I want to be, or if I'm focused on it because I don't want to be, I'm still focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very stuck place, and what makes it so tricky is that it feels like I'm doing awareness practice because I'm acutely aware of everything conditioning is doing to me all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good. That's very
yes.
good.
Rather than, as you've said, I'm just not available.
Yeah.
It's not that I hate you or need to get rid of you. I'm just not available right now.
I've got flowers to look at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've got breathing to do. I've got presence to be. I'm a busy human here.
Busy smiling over here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's good. Again, people forget that this is a path of ending suffering. And it's so tempting to stay in that relationship with suffering because it feels like who I am.
Yes.
What we're doing is ending suffering. So at a certain point, we just have to take a big gulp and agree to live in well-being, to let that suffering fall away and just be here in the garden, enjoying, participating, contributing, being happy, being the contribution of a happy human being.
Yes. Yes, it's brilliant. And I can see the identity in myself of trying to end suffering.
Yes, which is back to the weeds, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm trying. I'm trying.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to say, well, just go ahead and stop trying. And
just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, just drop all that trying and just go on and be happy.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few announcements here.
All right.
There are just a couple of days left to sign up for the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything retreat, which is at the end of this month.
And, Michael, before you say anything else about it, I really hope people listening to this show who have any chance at all to do that retreat sign up for it. It's a brand-new retreat. It's never been offered. People are, you know, stunned by the quality of the retreats that we are putting out now. And this is another one of those. So, you know, if there's any possibility of getting to it, I really encourage people to get to it because we have low attendance on this. I don't know why, but we do, yeah. And it's going to be a shame if people miss it, and especially if, you know, we conclude, well, it's just not something people are interested in, and then it falls off the schedule, because I can attest it's a really great retreat.
Well, I can attest too, because I've signed up for it.
Oh, very good. Oh, good man. Yeah. So this is a retreat that we actually created for a group of people that I met in another venue, and we made up this whole retreat for these people. And then they came and they loved it, and now we can make it available to the Sangha. So that's my commercial for get thee to the monasteries.
Great, great, wonderful. Following that retreat is the Rest and Be Thankful, which is July 5th through 7th. That's a shorter weekend retreat. You can enjoy the beauty of the monastery and find some tranquility and gratitude.
Yeah. So we have a four-day retreat followed by a weekend retreat.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Easier to plan those.
Yes, great. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more or sign up at schedule.livingcompassion.org. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's talk to our first caller.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Cherie in the meditation frontier of Texas.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you know what? I knew I was going to be on because the voices were just trying everything to talk me out of staying on, you know, and hanging on till I... So I knew I was going to be on.
This is good. And knowing that, so this is a good example, right? So that's that world of opposites, right? They're screaming that you need to get off of this call. And so what you know is, well, then you need to stay on because it's going to work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and I have to tell you, a lot of anxiety is arising right now, so I'm just kind of holding on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
I've been
a lot of excitement.
I've been doing the little retreat in the back of the resistance book, and today the assignment was empty your teacup, and so that's how I sort of saw the opposites today. I noted that there was a belief that has been arising a lot, and you know, and it's been an unconscious belief, which is kind of strange because it's been such a central belief for this personality since childhood. And it's people are mean and cause pain, and I'm afraid and I hate them.
So
usually that, you know, unconscious belief triggers a lot of, you know, fear, anger, hatred, and it triggers behavior of guarding against people, dreading being around people, avoiding people. And so there's just a lot of, so today I was going to go out and, you know, run some errands, and I decided that I was going to notice this arising and invite the opposite, you know, perspective to drop in.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
it's good. Really been amazing today. What I noticed, first of all, that there is an unconscious, contracted, armored, defensive body stance and mind, just being around people and just assuming that there's going to be pain involved.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched that, I saw it, and I consciously asked for a different perspective to drop in. And because I didn't know what that was going to look like, you know. And just opening, providing an opening in awareness made all the difference.
Yes, and so really super interesting things about that to me anyway. But the one that strikes me most is that asking for a different perspective, you had already entered the different perspective.
Really? Could you say more about that?
Well, the you left the identification and you had moved into awareness in order to know that you wanted a different orientation to be there. So you had the different orientation was there. It caused you to ask for a different orientation.
I see.
Can you get a sense of that?
Yes.
So, yeah, so in other words, if I say, if we take that a little bit different language, if it occurs to me to pray for help, I'm already receiving help.
Yes, I think I'm seeing that. It just sort of creates the opening for that. And
yes. Yes.
You're already there, right?
You're already, that's right. You're already where you want and need to be. And then the insight that comes to you, the next step that drops in for you is really a next step. You know, if we're not paying attention, we'll think it's kind of the first step and that, well, gosh, what if nothing drops in? Or what if there's no insight? Or what if no help comes? But it will. It always will. It's already there. I've already stepped out of that conditioned world. I'm already in awareness. I'm already where I want to be just by remembering to ask.
Well, and I'd always assumed that what the ego, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate was telling me was true. Even though intellectually I've been going to retreats, reading your books, and so on and so forth. And I knew that wasn't true, but yet there was still a belief that what I was being told was true.
Yep.
And and what I was being, you know, flashes of to keep me enthralled to that were, you know, memories of people being mean, future predictions of people being mean, and just the feeling that I had to prepare for this because if I didn't, I'd be hurt.
Yeah.
And it's such a negative cycle.
Yeah, and what you're pointing at is so important on a process level, that we think we know and we have no idea. So the fact that I intellectually, you know, if somebody said to you, now, do you think that you need to armor yourself against people because they're, you know, you would probably say, no. I mean, no. Sure, there are some mean, bad people in the world, but most people are good and kind and blah, blah, blah. And right under that is this whole belief system, this whole world of assumption out of which the behaviors come. And we have no idea it's going on. And it's going, and it's happening all the time. So it's that, it's why I always encourage people never to accept any judgment of who we are and how we're doing, because the gap between what I know intellectually and what I'm able to live is enormous. So I'm held to a standard of what I know intellectually and what I'm forced then to live out unconsciously gets reinforced with every rejection because I intellectually know the right answer.
Right.
That was a complex sentence even for me, but I hope it hung together. So to have compassion for ourselves, to realize that when I truly know, I will be a different person. What I am now is in the process of learning and seeing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because with this, what you're seeing, we don't know how many more layers there are to this.
Yeah. Well, what I also noticed, being willing to open up space for more insight to drop in that was helpful. And what I noticed was that this personality has really tried to keep very tight control over herself, to keep the fear and anger and hatred from turning into saying something angry or hateful, and really trying to keep control over that.
Yes. So,
to do that, to compensate, I guess, is what they call it, but to do a lot of smiling and appearing to be very kind and considerate, and it's not very real. It's very superficial, a superficial way of trying to keep control. And it feels like that other people may unconsciously pick up on that and react a bit negatively. And so this personality picks that up, and the negative cycle just keeps going.
Yes. Now, let me break that down for you. Yeah, but I want to break that down for you, okay?
Okay.
And just offer a different possibility. So what I am betting is happening is this. It's a young person who is simultaneously being fed by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate a story about how bad and scary and awful people are. At the same time, she's being told how she needs to behave, even though the world is the way it is. So, are you with me on that one?
Yes.
Yeah. So she
Please continue. She
is really being squeezed on both sides. And it's a, you know, damned if you do and damned if you don't. So she has to be protected and armored and afraid and defensive. At the same time, she has to be open and kind and sweet and loving.
Yes, it's a double bind.
It's a double bind. Now, here's the part that I want you to consider. What the way she's behaving is, it's true that it's not wholeheartedly sincere, because she's getting all of this information all the time about how dangerous and scary and awful and mean people are. But her effort is coming from a good place.
Her effort to be nice? Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So don't please take that away from her. in spite of what's being done to her, she is making this effort to be as kind as she can possibly be. And what people are picking up underneath it is what's happening to her. It may not, the chances are very good that they have no idea what's actually going on. And so
Right. Intuitively
they absolutely could be picking up that there's something under that kindness, but that doesn't negate the fact that she's making that effort.
Thank you. Yes, that makes total sense. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So it's it's a matter of course, saving her from those voices that are talking to her, and also appreciating her for the effort that she makes, even though she's afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, she is. She's afraid. And the anger and the, the wanting to push people away or that sort of thing comes from fear. It doesn't come from hatefulness.
Right. What it seems to happen is that there's the belief, then there's fear, and then the fear turns into anger, and that turns into hatred.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, as she tries to protect herself, yes.
Yeah.
And yet, she still will make an effort to be kind.
I really appreciated what you guys were talking about, you and Michael, about not wanting to focus on conditioning, but be present. So you want to be present and aware of what's arising and accept what is and breathe and let go. Is that?
So you know that conditioning is there, right? You know that it's going to be there. And what you want to focus on instead is being present. So I was just writing something earlier today that strikes me as appropriate for this, and that is a heart that is living in love does not need to be defended, cannot be harmed.
That's great, because what I'm tempted to do is focus on resisting that conditioning, and
that just keeps
it going.
That's exactly right. So instead, you turn your attention, and since you have a person, who's living this out, you can turn your attention to that aspect of yourself, take her by the hand when you're getting ready to go out and practice living in the loving kindness and compassion that you want her to live in, that you want to live in, that you'd like the whole world to live in. And that's what you're focused on as you're going about interacting with other people.
Okay.
Makes errands fun, doesn't it?
Yes, this is very helpful. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. Let me know how it goes, okay?
What's that?
Let me know how it goes.
I will certainly do that. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you,
Michael. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Are you there? And I can hear your radio.
I was going to say, that was an interesting little echo chamber.
Hello?
Yes. Okay, let's try another caller here.
No, I think I heard somebody.
Oh, I was hearing their radio.
Oh, okay.
Let's try another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Well, hello. Hi. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. I wasn't expecting to get on. I called in late because I was in the car listening on the phone. So here I am.
I'm having a little trouble understanding. Does the sound murky, Michael?
Sounds okay to me now? Sherry. Barbara, can you keep talking?
Yeah, I was just saying I wasn't expecting to get on.
Oh, and yet here you are.
And here I am, yeah. So I was in the car listening, so I couldn't hear really well what was being said, but I think I kind of got the general gist of it. And I've got a question that I've had for a few weeks, really, and it's along the lines, I think, of what's been talked about.
Okay.
And it's to do with, I guess for myself, like with the practice, what I've been looking at and noticing is that there's quite a fine line between turning the attention away from conditioned mind and suppressing, or sort of subtly pushing something away, not wanting things to be as they are, wanting sort of using practice, like not consciously, but feeling that sometimes that's what's happening.
Uh-huh. So here's the thing for me, and then you can tell me how... you know, if this fits for you. What
okay.
I don't want to do is turn my attention away from something that I'm not clear about.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, you know, earlier in my life, anger was a really big issue for me. And I practiced with that for years until I felt like I understood every nuance of it. It was like, you know, examining those weeds until there was no mystery left in them whatsoever. And then at that point, it was time for me not to give any more attention to that because that would be indulging it.
Uh-huh.
So once I understand something, see it, know it, get it, no, nothing else to learn from it, no mysteries, then I can safely just turn my attention away immediately and turn my attention to where I want it to be.
Okay. Okay, well, that's kind of along, I mean, the other thing that had arisen for me in reading the blog and... although when I got the I don't feel like a book reading, the beginning of that kind of, I feel, answered the question in a way. But it was, you know, because the direction at the moment is towards, you know, being in the garden and not staying, you know, relating to the weeds constantly, There's stages there. So there is a time when relating to the weeds is what is necessary. Is that kind of what you are?
Yes.
Or getting to understand them, and then you can not engage with them.
Yes. And it reminds me, even though it's the content is different, that story that I tell often about Ram Dass when he was doing hospice work and he was working with this woman who was dying, and she was really miserable and unhappy, and he said to her, I think the problem is that you're spending all of your time dying. So how about if you spend 10 minutes out of every hour dying and 50 minutes out of every hour living.
Uh-huh.
And so in the same way, we want to watch what's going on. We want to see how conditioning operates and what it does to us. But we don't need to give it all of our attention all the time. So if I have a garden, then I'm going to spend most of my time and attention taking care of the garden, planting and, cultivating and nurturing and all of that sort of thing. And in truth, I'm going to have to spend some of my time weeding. But it's not my whole life is focused on the weeds and my relationship with the weeds and ain't it awful and oh, my God, and there are so many of them and what am I going to do? And that's the attitude of mind that we really want people to get away from. And, it's what Michael said, earlier in the conversation, if we're not careful, awareness practice becomes simply focusing all of our attention on egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and missing everything else that goes on in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that I have had that experience, and I think it's that the feeling of that for me is that that's when conditioning's kind of got hold of practice.
Yes, yes. And the other thing, Barbara, that occurs to me about this is that we can choose the attitude of mind that we have even in looking at conditioning. So I can I can be looking at conditioning from the perspective of seeing how it does what it does and being really interested in how it works, which is very different from I'm caught up in it, I'm believing it, I'm listening to what the voices are saying. My whole relationship with practice is reporting on what the voices are saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one is very in it, identified with it, and the other is stepped back, observing it.
Yeah. And my other experience around that is sort of when the voices are very strong, sort of, loud. Getting into sort of a desperation about there must be something I could do to get rid of them, which feels like it's just more of conditioning.
Exactly.
Yes, it's not coming from a place of kindness and it's not coming from a place of acceptance.
Right, and the thing about it is, what you're pointing out, I think, is a realization that the voices are yelling. There's no content to it. There's no point to it. This is not going anywhere. They just yell because they yell. Now, when that's going on, I really can safely turn my attention to something that I would prefer to be engaged with other than voices yammering about what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware that there's a conversation that goes on about fear of dying, okay? And so I might want to see where that goes. I might take it as an opportunity to make peace with my own mortality and explore the whole issue of death and dying and letting go and, you know, all of that, because that's a, you know, we could say that's an important thing to make peace with, to explore. So that's very different from the voices that are just, you know, you wake up in the morning and they're on you about, you know, maybe what you ate for dinner last night, or that you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you've got to watch out for that, or, you know, that kind of standard, garden variety yammer.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's great. Thanks a lot. I'll be good to listen back.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
And again, just that attitude of mind that we have in practice, where I do this and I see what happens. I do that and I see what happens. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And that attitude of mind is the one we're going for, because I am in awareness, practicing, attending to awareness as I am in life, which is very, very different from being caught up in content of conditioned mind and stories and that sort of thing. Good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you down in Australia sometime, Sherry.
Okay, good. let's plan on that. I like that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Michael. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I think there was an invitation there for you, Sherry.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take that. I've always wanted to go there. And I've mentioned several times that I've got this favorite author, and it's the history of the country, and it's a fascinating place. I'm eager to see it. So, yes, I'm going to go.
Great. And now we're going to break for an important message.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have more callers here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan in California.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, I'm just changing phones here. Well, I just want to. I came in late on the show, but so maybe this has been talked about. But I just wanted to thank you for the blog, for your latest blog. And,
that is actually the subject of the show.
Well, there you go. I must have known that.
Your intuition is right on track.
Well, you know, I recorded that blog. I read it, you know, in my recorded it, and have been practicing with that. In fact, I talked about it on another call, and I just have to tell you, it's been sort of like almost on the more difficult side, a war zone, in that conditioning just was not happy at all, because I'm seeing the voices at a new level. And because of that, and I mean, you did, I think you referenced it in the blog, but being a one, you know, there's something wrong with everything. The conditioned response is that.
Jan, well stated, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it just, I guess what's been sort of, conditioning shook up about it. I keep wanting to say I am, but it's not. Conditioning shook up is that just that I'm seeing that it's everywhere all the time. There's not a nanosecond. It's not trying to get its, you know, ugly words in one way or the other. And it's, anyway, part of me is so grateful for that, and I wanted to thank you for the blog for that. And another part of me is like, whoa, okay, we've really got to, you know, everything's being ramped up with this. Everything. It has to be.
Yeah, and when an earlier caller was talking about, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it just, you know that one where then it just goes completely out of your head?
Yes, I know that very well.
the unconscious, I can remember what I said. I can't remember what she said, unfortunately, or how she said it, but I remember talking about the gap between the intellectual understanding and the kind of unconscious beliefs and assumptions that we're operating out of. And okay. I think that what's happening with where we are in practice now is that so many of those unconscious beliefs and assumptions are coming up into consciousness, and nothing makes conditioning unhappy faster than that, because you know, that whole world that it operates in operates because we are so easily manipulated, because we have these unconscious, unexamined beliefs and assumptions, and all conditioning has to do is kind of dangle one of those in front of us, and we just go. It doesn't occur to us to question it. It's just true.
And what you're saying, I guess, and my experience with what you're describing is, you know, it's not that I haven't seen the voices this telling me in detail what's wrong. You know, I've seen that for years. But to see new areas, I mean, the parts that you said, that where the assumption was, this is me, this is my skin, and the shock of going, whoa, there's more?
Mm-hmm.
And at first it's a combination of sort of reeling from the realization and great joy with the realization.
Yeah. Well, and the fun part of that world of opposites business, as you said, you know, for the NA type 1, everything is wrong. And to just stop and consider that, wait a minute, well, that means everything is right.
I know. Well, that's the good news.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, talk about turning the world upside down, right? It would only be saying that because it's not true. Wow. Okay, so then everything that it's saying is wrong is actually right. Ooh, this is the Garden of Eden.
I know. And another Sangha member had shared about writing down what conditioning was saying and then looking at what would be the opposite to that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just brilliant. And so now it is. I'm either doing, if I can't write it down literally, in my head, and yes, okay, yes, the world is perfect. Everything's perfect. What more can we ask for?
And again, you know, we've talked about this for years, right? And we all know that conditioning is doing what it's doing. It's working so hard to create a world because it's having to make something up that isn't true. We know that. But to see it with this level of clarity is staggering.
Yeah, staggering, that's exactly right. Yeah, that was my experience with this. So just huge gratitude for, well, always, but just on this particular one, it was one of those shakeups and just, you know, thinking, well, you know, I've seen a lot. And then there's this big whammo of, there's a lot more.
You know, Jan, I had that conversation with somebody really recently, that very realization that there's no end to this.
Yes.
Once we move out of the focus on what's wrong and giving all of our attention to the voices and conditioning and that sort of thing, we move into awareness. And, of course, the voices would like us to believe that the world of awareness is somehow limited, right? That there are a lot of things that are wrong, but if you get into everything is right, well, where do you go from there? That's just, okay, good, and now you're happy.
But what's available to us as soon as we move into awareness is infinite.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reeling. I mean, you know, just wow. It's an awe, you know, part of it is just the awe of that.
Yes.
And anyway, it's just
life is fun.
I don't know what else to say. Just huge gratitude.
Life is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and yep. And keep those blogs coming.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll do our best.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jan.
Anyway, thank you. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi.
What's
I really
on?
Appreciate it. Well, the blog was amazing for me, too. It pretty much turned conditioning's world upside down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so... I did the writing down thing where I wrote down what conditioning was saying, and then I wrote down the opposite of it in an objective way, not from a conditioned place. Like
uh-huh.
just what would be the opposite of that? Not
yeah,
what do I
literally
think
not right,
yes.
not what for me what would be the but just hot. What's the opposite? Cold.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what was so amazing about it was. That all of those opposites were true.
Yes. Yes. Now, let me ask you this, Renee. How do you know they're true?
Well, it was things like, so one of the things conditioning would tell me was that if I leave my job, that I'm abandoning people and I won't be able to make a difference in people's lives. And so the opposite of that was, okay, leaving my job and doing what I love to do and following my heart would actually change more people's lives.
Uh-huh.
So it was
yes.
it was like a fact. Like it was like, I don't know, a fact in quotes, but, you know, truth.
Yeah.
It was true.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't know how I know it, but I know that that's true.
Yes. Well, yes, intuitively we know that it's true. As soon as... Mm-hmm. It drops in. I think Jen was indicating as soon as it drops in, there's just that sense of yes,
yeah.
that is so. And with many of the things, when they are, you know, kind of characteristics or qualities of the person, one
mm-hmm.
of the ways we know they're true is that other people have been telling us.
Right.
You mean so often?
From
often
conditioned life. Yeah.
Well, no, that the voice inside me would say I am X. And then I look at it and I see the opposite. Of course, conditioning
mm-hmm.
is going to say, no, that's not true. No, you're not. But people all my life who have loved me have said that I am that opposite characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very
yeah.
it's very familiar. It's you know, you get that feedback from other people who care about you, and
mm-hmm.
in spite of getting that feedback, being told that, we, when we're identified with conditioning, cling to what conditioning is telling us is true about ourselves.
Right, right. And I also appreciated when someone said, as you move in the direction of your heart, conditioning gets louder.
Yes.
And you also uncover more layers.
Yes.
And if you keep applying the formula that you have in the blog, which is, it can be like a formula, you know.
Yes.
It's something you laid out as a formula. Then
yes.
you can take every one of those and you can turn it on its opposite, you know, look at the opposite of that and it's true.
Yes. And what
yeah.
what it does for us is put us in a position instead of being kind of on the defensive or on the run,
mm-hmm.
it in a leading to greater compassion all the time way, we are taking the offensive. And conditioning really has nowhere to go with this because it is a formula. Whatever
mm-hmm.
it says, we just flip it around. And so it feels kind of good, doesn't it?
It does. It was... It was very liberating.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's exciting because, and I don't know, maybe everybody doesn't have this experience, but boy, it sure is my experience that being on the receiving end of that kind of cruelty for so long, and then having the ability to take the power away from it just feels like such a relief. You know, and it's not a, I just have to try to make myself believe something that I don't actually believe is true. If you accept the kind of the science of the whole thing, then it is the formula that you can apply, and it's not even personal at that point. It's just how it works.
Well, yeah, and if you go through your day like that, like thinking or, you know, questioning is, well, if the opposite of that is true, as just in every part, when you wake up and the voices say, oh, your tummy hurts, you shouldn't have ate that last night, or whatever it says.
Yeah.
And you just consider the opposite, just to consider the opposite is true, is taking you out of identification.
Exactly. That, exactly. Well stated.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
And it changes your whole orientation to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so and it's that moment by moment paying attention, but it gives a new way of doing it.
Yes, exactly. It's it is a technique, right? Or a tool, if we want to think about it or talk about it that way. And it's something that we can do instead of being in that kind of in that position that we're conditioned to be in, where we just go along and hope that things will get better, hope that it'll be okay, hope that nothing bad happens. This is a very active sort of participation in having our own life experience, having the life experience that we choose. And in addition, not only is it the life experience we choose, it is the authentic life experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what is so amazing about, I don't know, miraculous about it. You know, whatever the right word is there. But that it isn't true. That, I mean, you know, it just shows how much I believe that, to be so amazed that it isn't true.
Yeah, right.
You know?
that is a really good point. For us to be this stunned by it tells us how total the bamboozle has been, even though, again, intellectually, we all could answer the questions in the right way.
We can answer them intellectually.
Pardon me?
We can answer them intellectually, but we really still believe a lot of what it's telling us. Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very fun.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much
for
that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's a bracelet in this somewhere. So
opposite might be one.
Look for the opposites.
Good. Okay.
Good. All right. Thanks, Renee.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. I have the bracelet, Sherry.
What is it?
Opposites make me smile.
Opposites make me smile.
Been a great show.
It does make a person smile. Yeah, and maybe people will keep looking if somebody has listened to this. I bet they'll read the blog if they haven't already, and maybe we can keep the conversation going for a bit and hear from some more folks who are turning conditioning on its head.
That would be great. I'm really grateful.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you next week. Okay. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.